Peter Yarrow was part of the iconic 60s group Peter, Paul, and Mary, later continued his commitment to equal rights, peace, environment, education, and maintains that presence in his music and message today. Well, on Saturday, the 26th of April, he'll be at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts and the North Shore Music Association's A Night of Conversation and Song with Peter Yarrow. Peter joins us this morning to talk about his music and his writing. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. That's a very glib and very lovely introduction.
Well, it helps to write it down ahead of time. Well, listen, Peter, you've been performing solo and with others, including members of your family, pretty much over the globe. So what's the main message now that you're bringing?
Well, it's a kind of a continuation of what it always was. It just has to be transformed into today's terms. For instance, I just got back from the Middle East when I was in Jordan, Israel, and Palestine, and I'm trying to organize, I've been working on this for a couple of years, a concert, one in Palestine and one in Israel, with international artists, and then artists from those two countries, and moving towards a larger event, like a Jerustock, if you will, where actually the artists from both sides will perform together and jam with whoever, Sting, Paul McCartney, whatever. You know, I've been organizing these things forever, but we're starting, you know, in such a way that we can build trust and goodwill, small. So, I could be in the 1960s, but these are the places where music of conscience can help to build a sense of people-to-people acceptance. It's called cultural diplomacy, and that's part of what I do. I have many other things, but that's kind of a case in point. And when I perform, I talk about these things, and I talk about a perspective from before, and I talk about what's going on now, and then we all sing together, and people leave, and they just always say, my goodness, I feel so young and hopeful. Well, I do every time I sing, because that's the way it affects me.
Well, causes of conscience certainly harks back to the great folk music movement of the 60s, but how is it different? How is it different from the issues that concerned you then and now during the during that period?
Well, in a sense, they're very similar, and in a sense, they're quite different. For one thing, popular music is not dominated by a musical form that addresses the conscience, the heart, the hopes, and the dreams of our country or the world, for that matter. It's become, to a large degree, so commercial that, to a large degree, that kind of impulse within music is almost gone from the top of the charts. It's not from the music on the net at all, but it's not front and center. So that changes the way in which music interfaces with political social change. On the other hand, the issues, for instance, in the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, we're still talking about rights. We're still talking about racism in this country, where young black men are warehoused in jails, millions of them, and there's this really strange and terribly inappropriate perspective in the criminal justice system, so that it's young black men go from the cradle to the jail. It's the cradle to jail pipeline. We're still talking about issues of justice and whether it's Guantanamo and torture. We're still talking about the war, not necessarily in the United States, but wars in which the United States participate and which ones are legitimate and which ones not. It certainly was, from the latter-day perspective on my part and many, many others, not an appropriate war in Vietnam, and this war in Iraq was based on completely false premises that they had weapons of mass destruction. So there's a similarity, but what we didn't deal with then was this mad rush to irreversible, catastrophic climate change. I mean, if that's, it's like talking about, oh, well, how much money do you earn and how much success do you have? But, you know, if you're sick, you know, none of that makes any difference in the same sense. All of the other issues, if we don't handle the challenge of what is a pell-mell rush to irreversible catastrophic climate change, will be irrelevant. So we've got to deal with that. And we've got to open our eyes. It's right in front of us. And yet it's, you know, it's just not being dealt with. Why? Because policy is driven to a large degree by the moneyed interests, and the moneyed interests for all of the Roberts Court's protestations, the corporate corporations are not human beings. They are designed to make money, and notwithstanding the dangers to the survival of the planet.
I'm hearing echoes of the 60s. Listen, you've launched a project. Speaking of something that's right current and up to date, you've launched a project called Operation Respect. Don't laugh at me. This is all about bullying, is it not?
Well, it is. It's also about, in a positive sense, creating an environment that is caring and loving and accepting of kids, where they have the tools to create a classroom along with their teachers, where there is less bullying, ridicule, disrespect, and violence. And that's a problem all over the world. So Operation Respect's program is in 22,000 schools in America, but we're also in Israel, in Ukraine, in Palestine, in Croatia, in Hong Kong. We're going to Japan. And to me, the big reality of today is that besides policies that have gone awry and are really foolish and destructive, we seem to have hit a place in this country where we've become institutionalized as kind of combatants and irreverent and disrespectful and cruel. And you look at television and you see on the reality shows a lot of really cruel behavior, humiliation, and people become stars, and they become well-paid, and they become role models, and adults watch it, and they're entertained. It's like watching the lions and the Christians, except it's watching the psyches of people being injured. And then you'd look at the behavior of our members of Congress towards one another, and you say, what has changed? Well, what is needed is to bring up a next generation that doesn't buy into that antagonism, that antipathy, that kind of perspective that is so filled with anything but caring and togetherness and unanimity of spirit. And it's become a greedy society. Not everybody, of course, but you don't need everybody to be greedy. You just need enough people to be greedy with enough money to make society spin in a certain way out of control in terms of having fairness and equity. And that's something that cannot be changed just with laws. You have to change the hearts of people. And that's why Operation Respect is important, not just in terms of bullying. But it is my life's work. I've been doing it for 15 years, and it's the most satisfying work I've ever done.
Well, I'm sure there's hardly anyone out there who hasn't heard Puff the Magic Dragon, but Puff has grown into more than a song. It's a book. It's also inspired other material for young people, musical and literary. Are you trying to bring folk music back to the mainstream through children, making these issues important to kids as they were in the 60s?
You found me out. Yes, I am. Because for all these schools that are using the Don't Laugh at Me program, that is what they are doing. They are using this music in conjunction with social and emotional learning curricula that absolutely not only gives a tool to open kids' hearts and bring them a sense of unanimity of spirit, but also it brings this music back to them. And I happen to feel this music, it really nurtures our hearts and souls and our spirits. And I think it's really really essential that we do everything to give that gift to kids when they're growing up. I think that the fact of that music being in my life, certainly, and the lives of others with whom I grew up, was determined a lot of the perspective from which I come, because there's something so authentic about it, so non-artificial, so hopeful, that if we bring that into kids' lives, I think they'll get that message and that feeling. It's embedded in the music itself.
Well, your appearance here in Grand Marais, have you ever been to Grand Marais before?
No, but I'm glad you pronounced it that way. I was hoping that that was the way it was pronounced.
That's right.
Because I saw it. And does it come from a French?
It means, yes, it's French. It means great swamp, basically. However, we've got a great deal of snow here for you, and I'm sure it's going to still be here on the 26th. Will you be talking about some of these things and singing about them that evening?
That's what I do.
Okay.
But I do it in such a way, not that I'm talking about it, I'm living it with people. When they're there, they'll feel as if, as I will, then we've kind of revisited the spirit of those times and brought them into the current day. And to me, to see people so enthusiastic and the kids, they bring their kids, they bring their grandkids. It's wonderful. It's like a cross between a party, a concert, and a peace march.
Well, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and the entire folk music movement, for that matter, had dreams of freedom, equality, love, respect, hope. You've just talked about those. Before I let you go, where are we today? How far have we come, and what do we have to do to keep those dreams alive, Peter?
Well, we've come a huge distance. Look at what's happened with the civil rights movement. I sang this past August 28th on the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington with Noel Polstuckey. Mary has passed, of course, but we carry her spirit with us in every song that we sing. And we had, not only did we sing Blowing in the Wind that we sang at that march 50 years ago, we also had Trayvon Martin's parents singing with us, and Mark Barden, who lost his son at Newtown. So we were also saying, yes, we've come this far, but we, as the song says, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out danger, and I'd hammer out the love between my brothers and my sisters. If we don't remain vigilant, all of what we have achieved will be lost. We do have an African-American president. I don't care what party you're from. That's a huge achievement. That is one of our finest achievements in history. But it is in danger. The other point of view, the selfish, mean-spirited, head-in-the-sand point of view, is always there, that has to be handled, because that is how and why we are on Earth. We're not on Earth to be given anything but a task to carry this effort forward. So there is much to be done. There's much that's been accomplished. Women are in an entirely different place in our society than they were in terms of their empowerment and the issues of equality. And there are many other areas that have grown. But at the same time, the dangers are as great and greater than they've ever been. So we must band together. We must care about each other. And we need to do it inspired by our kids. And that kind of defines where my life is now.
A Night of Conversation and Song with Peter Yarrow is the 26th of April at the ACA. Thank you for joining us, Peter. It's good to know the spirit of folk music is still alive and well. Thank you.
You bet, my brother. Thank you so much.